Episode 93.5. We're ready to Carolina.
Let's go. We got Carolina and the Jags today. We're Ryan's last research episode. Shane's second to last. Let's get it done.
Getting the cats in here.
Baker double clutches, then gets rid of it. Laviska Shenault with some room. Laviska Shenault, the former Jaguar, scores on the biggest play of the game for the Panthers, 67 yards.
So I'm really not going to talk a lot about last year Panthers because that team was so ass. And there's so much different with that team that you can only really point the finger at Matt Rhule being so terribly god-awful at his job. So DJ Moore's gone, CMC's gone, whatever. So we're just going to start off right off the rip with the new coaching staff. So the new head coach is Frank Reich. The new OC is Thomas Brown, who used to be the assistant head coach of the Rams. And the defensive coordinator is Eero Evro, who was the defensive coordinator for the Broncos last year. So pretty good assembly of cast here.
Sure.
So we all know Frank Reich as Super Bowl winner. He coached Indy for forever, but he was also the fall guy for the tank job done by Vitamin Freak and lover of Sarah Palin's feet, Jim Irsay.
Ugh, what an asshole.
So I took a dive into the tendencies of Frank Reich during his tenure in San Diego as offensive coordinator in Philadelphia, and head coaches in Indianapolis to find out what we kind of can project within target shares, pass attempts, run attempts within this offense going forward. So within his tenure across three teams as offensive coordinator and head coach, he's only ever coached a team into top 10 offensive attempt rankings in the following years. 2015 San Diego, second in pass attempts. Philadelphia, 2016, 10th in rushing attempts, 6th in pass attempts. 2017, 6th in rushing attempts. Indianapolis, 2018, 2nd in pass attempts. Indy, 2019, I'm just going to read the years going forward.
Yeah.
5th in rushing attempts. The following year, 10th in rush attempts. 2021, 5th in rush attempts. 2022, 9th in rush attempts.
They run.
Correct. They love to pound the rock. Outside of that, he's averaged a rank of 22.5 in rushing attempts and 19.6 in pass attempts, so not great.
Yeah.
So in regards to target share, Frank Reich offenses have the following breakdowns. Running backs get 20%, wide receivers get 55%, tight ends get 25%. So we can kind of, going forward with math and stuff, we'll have an assumption. I mean, obviously those numbers will change based on the talent level and blah, blah, blah. So Frank Reich has primarily worked with veteran quarterbacks, Matt Ryan, Philip Rivers, Carson Wentz, twice. So the last time Frank Reich worked with a rookie quarterback was Carson Wentz, who he helped did evolve from a run-of-the-mill quarterback to MVP caliber in a season where... So there is historical evidence that Frank Reich can set up a scheme for a struggling rookie to enter his second year and basically show up and play at their ceiling.
Yeah.
So I will say that I think Frank Reich is a good coach, but he's not a great one, even if he is a Super Bowl winner, because I blame it more on inconsistency rather than actual talent as a coach. So to me, I'd rather fly close to the sun, taste glory, and crash and burn rather than be like 8-9 my entire career.
Sure.
So I'm going to look at him primarily as the way the team is going to be run, because last year's Rams were pretty cooked, and I don't really want to speculate based on hyper offensive scheme because that team was such a misnomer out of Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
And this team doesn't really have a Cooper Kupp to talk about as of right now. Last year, the Panthers shed a lot of notable fantasy talent, including DJ Moore, CMC, and my king, Donta Foreman. So as you know, as this is a Bears podcast, the Carolina Panthers did trade for number one to draft Bryce Young.
Let's go.
So they also added in free agency Adam Thielen, Hayden Hurst, Miles Sanders, and DJ Chark. They also brought in Andy Dalton as a backup, as a veteran to help Bryce Young get up to speed in the NFL, which I think after last year is a very good move to make.
Yeah, it'll be great. Someone with that much NFL experience is really going to hopefully shed some light and be somewhat of a mentor to this young quarterback.
You'd hope so, yeah.
Yeah.
So they did give up a lot of capital to get Bryce Young. So their draft was a little thin, but they drafted, obviously, Bryce Young at 101, Jonathan Mingo, 39th overall, a linebacker, a guard, and a safety with a total of their 5 picks for this year. So I did say I wasn't going to talk about the previous year, but we do have to have a small blurb on here. Is the O-line of the Panthers, they did pad it over the offseason and within the draft to kind of give Bryce a little bit more protection, as well as Ike Okonkwo, ranking 3rd in pressure rate of, I think it was like 4.5% pressure rate within the last 3 years of rookies. So he's an elite talent that is behind Rashawn Slater and someone else I can't remember right now off the top of my head. So as of right now, per Warren Sharp, the Panthers rank 11th in their O-line, which is great considering how the main knock against Bryce is that he's going to get turned into dust at the NFL based on his size. But that might be an exaggerated narrative, even though the promo pics of him and everything that we've seen so far makes him look like a small child.
Yes, he's very small.
So I'm just going to start with Bryce Young because the whole offense is built around him and hopefully will be successful behind him. So if you want an in-depth analysis, please go buy the rookie guide. Someone bought it like a week and a half ago. We're still donating to charity. So if you're into it, you haven't got it yet, please.
Yeah.
Basically, the short of it is Bryce Young is short and he lacks a cannon of an arm. But he also possesses the ability to run and scramble as kind of the lazy comparison is Russell Wilson.
Yep.
Okay.
Even though his college metrics do have him as a better prospect, and obviously draft capital showed this, than Russ, and he's comparable to Kyler, who both have similar stature and can have shown that they can be successful in the NFL.
Yes.
So over the last 2 years, we saw Bryce Young scramble for almost 600 yards. Now that he is comfortable doing that and excel in climbing the pocket and throwing with pressure, throwing on the move, I wouldn't expect 300 yards rushing right out the gate because I feel like the main GM of the Panthers is going to tell Frank Reich to scheme up an offense where they don't get their quarterback killed in the first season.
Yeah.
So designed runs, run pass options, and prolonged plays are probably out the window in my eyes. So I will estimate it's going to be a lot of short passes to catch the receivers in stride and use his 10.5 yards per attempt to facilitate a more yards after catch centric offense to take the pressure off Bryce as he acclimates to the speed of the NFL and protect him to get the short release off.
Yep.
This will also lean to a more heavier run game when they're in more neutral game scripts or positive game scripts to utilize the acquisition of Miles Sanders. So while Bryce did miss 2 games last year, his regular attempts, there's 13 games in college in a regular season, so these values do seem a little weird. His average was 390 attempts, which averages out to 30 attempts per game. Frank Reich offenses have averaged around 33 attempts per game, and I feel like that's a very easy number for Bryce to hit.
Sure, yeah.
So even if we put Bryce as an average between those two values with his yards per attempt, with a league average of 64% accuracy, is obviously he's going to take a little bit of time to acclimate to the offense or to the NFL speed and the way the game operates. We can kind of estimate conservatively of Bryce around 3,600 yards next year, give or take, which I think is really good for a rookie in a team that didn't put him in a position to die like Houston did with CJ Stroud.
That's a really good rookie year. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think a conservative estimate of around 3,300 yards and 200 rushing yards is kind of where I want to plant my flag in regards to what we can expect of just a slow start, just getting up to the speed of the game, the way figuring out rhythm with receivers, right? Camp, even though he's had time with camp is still a short time and you don't develop chemistry with people in 6 weeks, right? It takes a little bit longer. He will struggle out of the gate because their schedule is pretty rough to begin with until their bye week. So I do believe that Bryce is going to have a lot of detractors in the beginning, but as the season progresses, I think he's going to hit a hot streak and people are going to realize like he still is who he is. And I do think there's going to be boom weeks where he has a scramble and gets you some yardage. Ultimately, to me, he's a QB2 with projections around what kind of Derek Carr can do in regards to a yearly pass output, as well as a rushing upside with a little bit, about 100 yards more than rushing than Derek Carr.
Sure.
So Derek Carr finishes QB17 last year. Now these numbers that I gave you are ceiling projections of a rookie quarterback, so we have to be a little bit apprehensive and understand that he won't set the world on fire right away. This exercise did make me more excited for Bryce Young, because even in the pre-draft process and after draft, I've been so whatever on him. But like, I feel like the team has set him up at least in a middle ground of being like, hey, we're not going to set you out there to die.
Yeah, sure. That's what it feels like for sure. Yeah, they at least did something.
Yeah. I'll cover wide receivers next. There's a good system here on paper to make sure that he can utilize his skill set to make him build confidence within the NFL. So I'm going to go with these that you're in a super flex league. So obviously you have two quarterbacks, because Bryce is QB 24 right now per 4-for-4, and you're obviously not drafting him in those circumstances in a one quarterback league.
Right.
So Bryce Young, Sam Howell, or Brock Purdy?
Bryce Young. Yeah, Bryce Young.
Yeah, I'll go with Young.
It's total ceiling play. Absolute ceiling play.
Yeah.
The only reason I would say Brock Purdy is because he's on a better offense. And
yeah,
you're just hoping that they score a lot of touchdowns and he gets those points too.
True.
But he's in a Shanahan offense, so a lot of that's going to come from the run game. So
yeah, for sure. And a lot of these, like what's the ceiling on these guys? 220 yards a game, right? Like,
right.
You're kind of within a certain range. So the next one is Ryan Tannehill, Bryce Young, or Kenny Pickett.
I don't like small hands. wow.
I think I might go Tanny.
I'll stick with Young.
Is it the rushing upside, Tony?
I think Tannehill. Yeah, I think it's Tannehill's red zone rushing attempts that I like a lot. And honestly, he's got better weapons across the board.
Yeah, very fair. Because the weapons for Bryce Young are Adam Thielen, DJ Chark, Terrace Marshall, Jonathan Mingo, and Laviska Shenault. So for right now, the only person to me that you're drafting in any round above round 15 is Adam Thielen and Jonathan Mingo. So those are going to be the two guys that I talk about going forward.
Damn, Ryan, Carolina picked up Shenault. Damn.
Ryan had to have, on the banks of the Mighty Fox River, Ryan had to have a Adam Thielen intervention for me in terms of best ball. He's like, dude, you got to draft other players at this point.
He's so cheap.
He's so cheap.
So we know who Adam Thielen is. We'll know he'll have a hamstring injury at some point. But if we can get 12 weeks of production out of this 32-year-old man, I think he's great in round 8 or 9. And I'm going to take this following information from a tweet that Tony sent me from Jordan Vanek on Twitter. Or X, whatever it's called now. It's still a tweet to me.
Dead name Twitter.
So the summation for Adam Thielen was, last year was basically a smokescreen of production for Adam Thielen, as all his designated routes were basically him just doing cardio to free up Justin Jefferson. But Adam Thielen does thrive in the intermediate and soft spots within the zone, so he's not going to run 600 routes like he did last year, but we will see an increase in efficiency of Thielen, as he will play the intermediate to short routes to help Bryce get him small chunk plays and get him into tempo within the NFL.
Yeah, I like that take.
Yeah, Ryan, who's stupid now, bro?
You.
Yeah, that's true.
So with the dead arm of Matt Ryan, the Colts ranked first in intermediate passing while with Frank Reich at the helm. The Rams ranked 3rd, 9th, and 11th while OC Thomas Brown was in LA. Outside of a shortened season in 2009, Adam Thielen has never had less than 90 targets, and even as a 32-year-old man, I think that's the perfect range for Adam Thielen's outcome this year, as he is the alpha in the offense. So he did finish as wide receiver 34 last year, which isn't great, but if you're getting a wide receiver 3 or a flex play post round 9, you're winning the league with that kind of floor, because there are boom weeks where he will have a touchdown or two in one game.
True. Yep.
So as of right now, Adam Thielen is wide receiver 65 right now on 4-for-4 between his current teammate Jonathan Mingo and former teammate KJ Osborne. We're at a point they're basically free, and I'd take Adam Thielen over any of them in this grouping besides Tyler Boyd.
Really? Okay.
I just love Joe Burrow, and I know Tyler Boyd got a regression in targets. I think he just gets the pity 85 targets every year from him.
I agree with that. Like you said that in an earlier episode too, Shane, where you're like, Boyd's just gonna get all these pity throws.
But they got to throw it to somebody else. It's his last year. Right. Like, hey, bro, thanks for getting us to 101 and all these other badass wide receivers, but your time's up.
Adam Thielen's ADP on Underdog right now is 144.
So that's 12th round?
Yeah.
Holy shit, dude. I'd smash that every time.
Who's stupid now?
You're still this dumb.
This is why we do this exercise, okay? So we can learn and get better. So as of right now, based on what I've told you, Gabe Davis, Adam Thielen, or George Pickens?
Well, based on that knowledge, I'm going Thielen.
In a vacuum, like pick between these three guys, the cost is all the same. Like if we're doing like an auction league and everyone's a dollar,
yeah,
Gabe Davis. But at cost, Adam Thielen, baby.
Yep. Okay, the next one. Juju, J-Mo, or Adam Thielen?
Oh, that's a good one.
I think if he's going to be used as consistently as you're saying, I'm going to go Thielen. But I think J-Mo might have the better ceiling.
I am getting Juju, because Juju's a couple rounds earlier than Adam Thielen.
Correct.
Yeah, give me Juju.
He's a safe play. You know he's gonna get 100 targets. It's boring, but it is what it is.
Correct.
All right, so we're gonna move on to Jonathan Mingo because he's fun as hell. We didn't really know about him until the draft, but helmet scouting and our tape screams AJ Brown light. Which isn't really the wisest thing to do, right? Because that's just lazy. So he's another big-ass yak monster from Ole Miss, and he will play in the similar style of Thielen in regards to the short and intermediate. But instead of going down after the catch, a la Tyler Lockett, we can anticipate a scheme that will attempt to get him around 10-yard chunk plays on catching in stride or in designated screens, just based on the way that he plays the game. I think his yards after the catch is like 6.1, I believe.
Yeah, so, he's a beast.
He's free in drafts. I have him everywhere in Dynasty, and I'm excited to see if he can crack this mystical rookie threshold number of like 650 yards, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Okay. This wide receiver room to me is honestly his for the taking this year, especially when they took him 39th overall, which is also on the cutoff of when we like to see fantasy relevant wide receivers being taken in drafts of probability of hit rates, blah, blah, blah. So while at Ole Miss, Jonathan Mingo ran out wide 75% of the time with a 13.3 average depth of target and a 6.1 yards after the catch. So I'm pretty pumped to say the least. Honestly, see what you have round 12. If you don't scratch on the lotto ticket, let him go and find somebody else on your fab or keep him as a late year breakout or potential keeper next year.
See, I think he's a guy that I'm perfectly content with not drafting and then picking up later on if I have a short bench, maybe like see if I can chance it for 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, I think too, like the way their schedule is set up is you can kind of fade that offense for the first 6 weeks. And then once everybody cuts all these players is then when you can fill in of like, okay, this is when it's going to happen. Cause we'll go over the schedule later. The next wide receivers, DJ Chark, LeMayo.
Hey, DJ Chark's been getting a lot of training camp love.
Yeah, but it's training camp. You know what I mean? I know. All right, Terrace Marshall, LeMayo. Yeah. Tony, I love you, and I know you're a Visca truther, but LeMayo.
Yeah, he's bad too.
All right.
He was so fun. He was so fun in college, though. He was so fun.
Sometimes it doesn't translate, and it sucks, right?
Yeah.
So on to Hayden Hurst. Now, I can't think of anyone more forgettable at the tight end position than Hayden Hurst. He does his job, and he goes home, but outside of that, he's really never done anything outstanding. His career high in targets was in 2020 with 85, followed by 65 last year in Cincinnati. Now, if we're simply going to project stats based on what I gave you about target volume, that would put around 7 attempts to Hayden Hurst every game, which in a vacuum makes sense. But when you say it out loud, it makes you sound like a fucking crazy person.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, right.
So he's another guy who will play the intermediate. But he's the fourth target behind Adam Thielen, Jonathan Mingo, and Miles Sanders to me, probably in that order. So we're lucky to get 3 to 4 targets a game, in my opinion, if we're lucky. Hayden Hurst is tight end 25 on 4 for 4, so he's a big old pass to me, unless you're in a two-end tight end league. And I'll be wrong on this if I'm just incorrect in my analysis.
I think that's a fair. I think that's a fair take on Hayden Hurst. I think this offense, by the way, this tight end room though is primed for Ryan deep one off touchdowns. Oh,
this is a DFS team for sure.
Yeah, Tommy Tremble.
I mean, we could get some scenarios where he maybe has to throw to Hayden Hurst seven times a game.
I'm gonna
just check downs.
I'm gonna say right now, there will be a time this year that
Ryan's mid-tier kind of shitty tight end of the week
is Ian Thomas for Carolina. I'm just telling you right now.
So I'm going to move on to the main fantasy piece on this team, Miles Sanders, who has been a quote-unquote sleeper in the fifth round since he signed to the Panthers and is pretty hyped up right now. I get it. He's got no competition as Chuba Hubbard is a beyond a jag. Blackshear was really no one to be concerned about because he really didn't do anything last year, even in a depleted offense where Chuba Hubbard was the lead back at one point.
Right. And those guys had their chances last year after CMC left.
Yeah.
Didn't really do anything with it.
It was Dante Foreman's room.
Yeah.
So project.
Yeah, but
there we go.
Sam Darnold led the team in carries inside the five last year. And he only played in six games and he led the team in rushes inside the five.
Matt Rhule is like the worst person to break up with because everybody he cut or let go, he just brought back. He's like, you know what? I miss you.
Yeah, it's, come on, man.
What we had was good and then it wasn't good.
Right.
So for projected touch volume based upon previous Reich offenses, projected volume based around a rookie quarterback, I still think we need to temper expectations with Sanders of what his projected ceiling could be. On the number third rushing team last year, Sanders put up overall the fifth best rushing yards and the ninth most rushing touchdowns behind the number one rated O-line and the powerhouse of an offense, which was putting up 30 points a game after their bye week. But unfortunately, Miles Sanders still finished as RB2. As an RB2 as running back 15 because he only had 20 catches last year.
Yeah.
So that situation is different now. Granted, it won't come tumbling down, but there will be regression based on situation going from the quote unquote first graded O-line to the 11th graded. He said he's wanted to catch more passes. Frank Reich has said he's going to get more active in the passing game. And they should, as pretty much he's the only guy who can do it, even if Reich does attempt to break it up into committee, because it's just the cream rises to the top. He's clearly the best running back talent in that room.
Sure.
So to me, the biggest upside of him being on the Panthers this year is his red zone opportunities, even though they were ninth last year, are going to go up because he's not going to have his rushing opportunities nuked by Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
So there will be projected volume based on his position on the team as the weight bearer and in the neutral and positive game scripts, because they're just going to use him to take the weight off of Bryce Young. So last year was Miles Sanders' career year as on opportunity. So over his career, Miles Sanders has averaged 13 rush attempts per game. And with that volume of the average, we can estimate around 220 attempts for the year. So if we want to bump it up to a middle ground of an expected quote unquote bell cow of 14.5 attempts, that means we get 247 attempts. So that would put him again in the top 10 of attempts in the league, which is great. But I do think his efficiency will regress due to a lower graded O-line, but having a top 15 rushing and having a top 15 rushing defensive schedule. So we won't probably see 1,200 yards again. I think we can see 950 conservatively.
Sure.
So to me, the real juice for Miles Sanders this year is the real question of how does the passing work come into play? Because this is basically the make or break of either he's an at-cost return on investment or he's a league winner. So before Jalen Hurts came into the fray as the guy in Philadelphia, Sanders did get targets. He actually averaged about 4.4 targets per game his rookie year and has been on a slow decline ever since due to the mobile quarterback taking over, scheme, blah, blah, blah. But now that's different in Carolina, like I said earlier. So Miles Sanders' career average, including last year, is about 3 targets per game, roughly 54 targets on the year. But I think we can bump that up to around 4.5 targets per game, which puts him around 77 targets for the year in the same tier as Aaron Jones, Jared McKinnon, Josh Jacobs, and Saquon.
Ooh, wow.
So to me, Miles Sanders is someone that is either going to break fantasy for you or you're just going to kind of hit your fifth round. This is my RB2.
Sure.
even in a lower scoring offense compared to Philadelphia, I think projecting him with an RB2 floor with potential RB1 upside weeks is something I would place my bet on this year, with an increase in passing volume theoretically going up above his career average. So right now, he's RB20 per 4-for-4. So Miles Sanders, David Montgomery, or Damian Pierce?
Wow. I'm going to go with Montgomery.
Monty, then Sanders, then Pierce.
That's how I have them ranked as well. All right. Joe Mixon, Miles Sanders, or James Conner?
Oh. Ooh.
Ugh. I'm going to go Conner just because that's really the only part of the offense that's going to work for Arizona this year.
I'm going to go Sanders with the assumption that Carolina, even with a rookie quarterback that is very small, is a better offense than Arizona's.
Okay.
All right. I like it. All right. In summation, I'm excited for Bryce Young long term, but fade in one quarterback leagues. Perfect QB2 opportunity based on team construction if you're in Superflex or 2QB. Adam Thielen is an absolute smash buy at cost for me. Jonathan Mingo is free, so why the fuck not? Draft Miles Sanders at cost. He's got league-winning potential with an increase in the passing game.
Who's stupid now? Hell yeah, that was a good one. Carolina.
They were much more interesting than I thought they were going to be. I was like, not that I was dreading doing them, but I was like, ah, this team is going to be shitty, whatever. And then I was like, wow, there's actually like some juice here.
Right? All right, Ryan, we made it, baby. Here we are.
The Jags, baby. Here we go.
What's the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning?
Usually just piss.
Okay. What would you do if you weren't playing football?
If I wasn't playing football, work in construction, ripping cigs.
All right, so the Jags, they did pretty well last year. They made it to the playoffs after trouncing the Chargers in the wild card round.
They put us over their knee and they spanked us.
That was one of the most one-sided victories. Like, I'm pretty sure going into that game, the Chargers were the Vegas favorite, and if you put money on the Jaguars that day, oh my God, you made it.
Dude, I put money on the Jags when they were down 30-7 or whatever.
Yeah.
Dude, Trevor Lawrence threw 4 interceptions. You guys were up by 30 points and we choked that shit.
Yeah.
And then they ultimately lost to Kansas City in the divisional round. But we got some promise for this year, right? So look at their draft really quick. They did a lot to pad their defense. They got Tank Bigsby and they got their first number one pick. And it's crazy to say this, that the Jaguars had a bottom third overall draft pick. It's just like, you never see that a lot, you know. Normally they have like one of the first 5 picks, but because of their play last year, they had number 27 and they drafted Anton Harrison to pad their offensive line and to help Trevor Lawrence out this year, because as of last year, his O-line only gave Lawrence about 2.24 seconds to throw the ball. And I was actually shocked that they didn't pick up another offensive lineman, but
yeah, that was kind of the big criticism in their season.
Well, and their left tackle is suspended for the first 4 games of the year.
Like, Lawrence averaged 5.24 pressured throws per game last year.
That's too many.
Yeah. That's too many. So hopefully they can figure out some stuff with their defensive or offensive line and, you know, get Lawrence extra padding. I mean, he didn't do too bad. 95.2 quarterback rating on the whole year. That's not really bad. He went 387 completions on 584 attempts. That's a 66.3% completion percentage. He had over 4,100 yards. 25 touchdowns through the air, but here's where he's going to emerge this year. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to have more opportunities to run the ball this year. He had almost 300 yards last year. and five rushing touchdowns. Yeah. Yeah. So he had 30 total on the whole year. I'm thinking he's getting maybe 350, 400 yards.
Okay.
This year rushing, in hopes that maybe they design a few more plays that are catered to him running. I know that a lot of his runs came on pressured plays where he just had to figure something out, but maybe they can design some more plays after seeing last year's numbers, the rushing.
And I think too, with that is like, you also have to look in a vacuum of like how much he took a leap from 2021 to 2022. Like he was labeled a bust. God. And yeah, then he became like a top eight quarterback.
Yeah.
Can I just tell you, in fantasy points per game, he went from quarterback 29 as a rookie to 12.
Yeah. And he's projected to be 8 to 10 this year, depending on who rankings you're looking at. He had 65 deep ball attempts and a little over 32% completion rate on those deep ball attempts. And I think that's going to help out. It's going to be a lot better this year with the addition of Calvin Ridley. My projections right now for Trevor Lawrence, and you know I'm big on the Jags, so I'm definitely not conservative. All right, I've got him around 602 passing attempts, 29 touchdowns through the air. I've got him at 6 rushing touchdowns. I've got him at around 4,350 yards passing. I've got him at around 75 rushing attempts and 350 yards rushing as a quarterback.
I think that's really conservative. I thought you were going to say.
I think so too.
I thought you were going to say 5,000 yards, and I was like, that's a little high, but no. I don't see that out of like the realm of possibility with like the receiving weapons he has.
Because when we look at their run game next, you'll see why he might not have to pass a lot. I think the opposite, outside of those AFC games where they're playing like Kansas City, they kind of have like the opposite flow of going, like Tony was talking with Minnesota. They play in the AFC South. So chances are there's going to be more games where they're playing ahead, where they're going to have to run, or they're going to rely more on the run game. And yeah, I could have been a little bit more overzealous and said like 4,500 yards.
No, I think that's a really good, accurate claim.
Sure.
I have 4,600 yards this year for Trevor Lawrence.
Oh wow. All right. Well, we're going with Tony's number.
Well, hear me out. Hear me out.
Okay.
If you pass for 250 yards a game over 17 games, you end up at about 4,200 yards.
Okay.
So adding Calvin Ridley, and if you think about it, you know, everyone's expecting Lawrence to make the jump, right? Like he's going to make the next level jump. If y'all look at his game by game breakdowns, he already made the jump.
Yes, 100%. It's just like, consistency. That's what it's going to take, is if he's consistent.
Okay. Right. So after week 8's game against Denver, for the next 9 games, he threw 15 touchdowns and 2 interceptions.
Yeah, he ascended.
Like, I think
that's true. He only had 8 interceptions on the entire year.
Right. And so after that, he was only not a QB1 3 times in the last 9 games. Like he's there. And if you think about it, his ADOT is like 7.8. So he was 22nd in the league. So if he puts the ball a little further downfield with the way that he was playing last year, I think 4,600 is absolutely a reasonable number.
And some of these matchups that they're going to have to score a lot of points because their defense is like kind of middle of the road, but like they do face murderer's row in some divisions and games where they're going to have to put up 35 points a game.
Yeah. And like I said, too, they had a decent amount of draft picks. They drafted like 5 or 6 defensive players to hopefully help with that defense and make a better playoff push.
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons why I have them going to the Super Bowl this year.
Let's go.
But yeah, if Trevor Lawrence gets injured, though, it's bad. Like, we've got one of the best backup quarterback names in history, CJ Beathard. And we've got rookie Nathan Rourke. So, cross our fingers. Let's hope Trevor Lawrence stays healthy. Let's look at this run game. Like I said earlier, They picked up Tank Bigsby in like the fourth or fifth round.
Tank Bigsby.
Yeah. Not a fan.
Yeah. Although, you know, everyone in training camp saying he's doing really well. But that's what
I love training camp videos, because
that's what everyone's like, saying about everyone.
If you look at the clip all the time, it's like that dude had 6 yards and no one tried to tackle him like Deuce Vaughn last week when he was running right through like a little 5-year-old child, and like he would have got turned to paste.
Yep. I mean, he had a decent college career.
Yeah, he had a good college career.
His first year in college, he averaged 6 yards carry. That was in 2020. 2021, he went down to like 4.9, and then last year he had 5.4. So that's pretty decent for a college running back.
Sure. You know what I like to look at, though, when I watch this is, I'll let me let you inside the actor's studio here.
Sure.
When I'm looking at running backs, when I don't actually look at the running back very much. I'm looking at the hole on the offensive line. Where is it supposed to be? Do they hit it? And would they have made the play if this hole was like NFL sized? And sure. That's why Zach Evans didn't get my dick hard, because all isolate that. the offensive line was blocking mega holes.
Well, sure. That's the thing too, though, is like it we're sickos who watch tape, where you talk to people and like you see, oh, Gibbs isn't good. It's like you clearly didn't watch tape, right?
Right.
Like Zach Charbonnet doesn't have a dog in him. Like we are in two different panels of analysis here, buddy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I honestly think he's going to be a very good third down complement to ETN in this offense this year. But let's talk a little bit about ETN. 220 carries last year for 1,125 yards, 5 touchdowns. So I think he's going to improve on this year.
Oh yeah,
I'm thinking closer to maybe 8, 9, maybe even 10.
Sure.
They're definitely going to score more points this year too.
Yeah. He had 35 receptions for 316 yards. I think he'll be somewhere around the same now that we've got a better third down passing back in yeah. Tank Bigsby, where the Jags really haven't had anyone in the past.
It's bullshit, though. Travis Etienne's such a good pass receiver.
Which is wild to me. Like, if you look at his stats, I'm like, dude, how did you finish so low? Like, you clearly are a pass-catching running back.
Yeah, it didn't make a lot of sense. He finished outside the top 24 8 times last year, which was really weird.
I'll tell you why. Like, this is the Warren Sharp stat that rang all the bells in my head, and this is why I'm not out on Travis Etienne. Last year, Jacksonville entered the red zone at the 9th highest rate, and when in the red zone, they had the 20th highest touchdown rate.
Etienne's going to do really well this year, and he's going to have to be involved in the game, whether like, because he's got a pretty decent run block rating. He's got a 72 run block rating. So it's not like he's shit. He can play both sides of the game. They gave him 9 goal line carries last year. He had 23 carries inside the 10-yard line and 41 red zone carries. I think those numbers will potentially go up as they get into situations where they'll just be closer.
Yeah.
He had 16 breakaway runs last year at a 7.27 breakaway run rate. That's going to go up too, I think. But beyond Etienne and Tank Bigsby, they picked up Jamal Hasty and they got Dearness Johnson. They could be feasible if someone gets injured, but it's going to be really tough for those guys to get involved.
Sure.
Outside of that scenario.
Yeah.
Let's look at someone whom I'm really high on this year. And I don't understand the fantasy communities. I get it. Calvin Ridley was really good when he was playing. But when was the last time Calvin Ridley played?
Before COVID.
Week seven of 2021 was when he left.
Correct. So 2 years. All right. I think it's going to be very hard for someone to come back from a 2-year absence. He's probably been staying healthy. He's working out, doing all this stuff. But who is he really practicing with? He's not doing full pad practice with anyone until this year.
You know, he's still on his rookie contract.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
As a 28-year-old adult in the NFL, he's on his rookie contract still.
Yep.
That's crazy. So I'm scrolling through and I'm looking at like other sites like projections, and every single person has Calvin Ridley projected way more than Christian Kirk.
Well, he's also like third round, which is like, yeah. I get like the comparison of like Christian Kirk is just boring to people, even though he, like, we love Christian Kirk here. Like, I'm a converted Christian Kirk truther. We'll talk about it later, yeah. But like Calvin Ridley is going so high to me where I'm like, he's gonna blow up your third round. He's, to me, right. At least he's the landmine of shit. I could have taken anybody else here and that could have won me the league, as opposed to someone who's going to give me 10 to 12 points.
So I'm taking the opposite approach with these two guys this year, and I'm projecting Christian Kirk to be the better wide receiver in terms of numbers at the end of this year.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, he's already has a chemistry with Lawrence. He's got that high dollar contract. He's got to perform. Kirk last year had 84 receptions on 133 targets, over 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns. Let's see. In 2020 was Calvin Ridley's best year. He had 90 receptions on 143 targets for 1,374 yards and 9 touchdowns. That's a pretty comparable season outside of the 200 more yards that he had.
Like, that's a terrible pass success rate. Like, Jesus Christ, Matt Ryan. Yeah, that's washed.
Yeah.
those are Zach Wilson numbers.
Right. So right now, I'm projecting Calvin Ridley to have around 120 targets, maybe around 900, 950 yards and 6 touchdowns, and maybe 50 out of those. No, sorry, 60 out of those 120 targets. I don't know, but
I think 80 to for 120 for like 950 yards is like what I would put.
I ran out of writing room, and so yeah, I do have 80. Sorry, it looked like a 6, but it's an 8.
Is this for Kirk or Ridley?
This is for Ridley. I haven't got 80 out of 120.
Wow. I literally have for Kirk 75 of one out of 120 for 980 and 6 touchdowns.
For Kirk, I have 98 receptions on 140 targets.
Oh my God. Let's
I've got him for 1,225 yards and 8 touchdowns.
Oh my God.
Dude, it's going to be awesome.
This isn't even a Jaguars episode. It's a Christian Kirk episode.
That's like wide receiver 9.
He
finished wide receiver 15 last year, right?
Yeah. Dude, he had 24 deep targets last year on a 13.1 yard perception average. His ADOT was 9.41 yards. He had 22 red zone targets. And when Christian Kirk was targeted, Trevor Lawrence had a 93.81 quarterback rating.
Wow.
Damn. This is a trend for most wide receivers, but he had more yards against the zone than he did against the man. I like that he played 52% of the snaps in the slot. Or is that right?
No, that's way higher.
I must have been reading the numbers wrong.
That's okay. Numbers aren't real.
I wrote down 494 slot snaps.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
So I just read a tweet from Trevor Lawrence. Added 6 to 7 pounds, tweaked his mechanics, and is throwing a lot more checks at the line. So,
that could be good for Evan Ingram.
Some bubble screens.
Some ETN action. Then we've got Zay Jones, Jamal Agnew. I'm projecting Zay Jones, let's see, maybe around 90 targets, 60 to 65 receptions, a little over 600 yards and 3 to 4 touchdowns.
I think he's a very good either DFS player or if you're in a really deep league, because we were looking at target today because we were covering the draft that we're doing across a bunch of boards. And Zay Jones is really high because his target share was really good last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, other than Christian Kirk, they didn't have anyone else. Yeah. He ended up with. Yeah, he had 121 targets, 82 receptions last year, a little over 800 yards and 5 touchdowns. But he's obviously going to take a regression this year with the addition of Ridley.
But he's not the cost of entry of someone else. You know what I mean? Like,
no, I think you're right, Shane. He's going to be someone you're going to want to look at in DFS lineups for the week, and maybe if they're going up against a really good defense, or someone that's got a couple really good corners, Zay Jones might be the guy to plug in to get that touchdown and 65 yards or something. And then we've got Tony's favorite player, Jamal Agnew.
There's a reason why I drafted him in our golf league.
I want to start him somewhere.
He will be RIP this year. Right?
Yeah.
I've got him around 20. I've got him around 20 receptions on maybe 30 targets.
Yeah.
Around 200 yards. And he'll probably get a fluke, like three touchdowns. You know,
he'll also get like 20 carries.
Something like that. Yeah. But as Shane just referenced, the checkdowns with Trevor Lawrence, we've got Evan Engram, who emerged last year as pretty sure tight end around 7.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah.
And he got paid this offseason.
Yeah.
Sure did.
So he had 73 receptions on 98 targets for a little over 750 yards and 4 touchdowns. Actually, for a tight end, he had a 6.25 ADOT, which is pretty decent.
Yeah, he was basically a wide receiver.
Yeah. And he was getting involved on some pretty big plays, too. He had 9 deep targets. And get this, when Evan Engram was targeted, Trevor Lawrence has 110 quarterback rating.
That's nice.
He's better than Christian Kirk.
So I've got Evan Engram this year around, let's see, I'm going to go like 105 targets for 75, 80 receptions, 825 yards and 6 or 7 touchdowns.
There you go. That's tight end 5, right?
Yeah. That chemistry is going to stay developed. And if we're projecting, you know, Lawrence to get 300 to 400 more yards than he did last year, this man's going to be, a receiver on that end.
I was just talking earlier about how like the ascension has already happened. We've already seen Trevor Lawrence go to the next level. He's on that level now.
Right. Yeah.
The reason why we remember Evan Engram having such a good season is because he got better as Lawrence got better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the fantasy playoffs were all Evan Engram. It's like top 5, tight end 5, tight end 1, tight end 2, tight end 6. And sure, like if Lawrence stays hot and he keeps up with the same trends, then a tight end 5 finish is not a ridiculous call on your end.
No. I have really high hopes for this team. Like I said, I have them projected to go to the Super Bowl. I already have my bet in that the Jaguars and the Detroit Lions will be the respective AFC and NFC championship winners.
Love it.
I put a $2 bet down. If it wins, I win like $350.
Hell yeah.
Well, let's go through some either ors really quick now that we just put out a bunch of that information.
Okay.
Let's go ETN. So ETN or Kenneth Walker?
Oh,
fuck.
That's a tough one.
ETN. I'm going ETN.
Yeah, okay. Give me that too.
ETN or Pierce?
I'm getting the guy who's going to be on a higher scoring offense. That's just plain and simple. And a guy who catches passes, yeah, in theory.
I agree with Shane.
It's ETN, but it's closer than I think people want it to be.
Just a Damien Truth. Damien Pierce then, truther, bro.
And then to mirror Tony's or either or from earlier, ETN or Montgomery.
Both guys have a chance of being Super Bowl MVP, so let's be careful here.
I'm going ETN for pass catching upside.
Okay.
Shane, what do you think?
I don't know, man. Gibb, like, I know I've been talking my Gibb shit, but like, he's obviously not going to get every single pass to the running back, right? Like,
correct.
They've been talking about lining. Like, we hear this every year about how they run him out the slot, blah blah blah. But like, if they do run both guys out, like, what's stopping Monty from getting 30 targets this year, right?
He can catch the ball.
True.
Yeah. So, I say flip a coin. Like, okay. Monty's 5th, ETN's 3rd or 4th round. I just take who you want. Get your guy.
That's sure. How you know you asked a good question. People take the 5th. Call a coin toss.
All right. So let's move on to Christian Kirk.
This is Christian Kirk. You have an hour
Christian,
here.
Christian Kirk or George Pickens?
Oh, Christian Easy Kirk. Easy Kirk.
Christian Kirk or Justin Jefferson?
It's close.
I wanted, you know how bad I wanted to do that, but I was like, no, I can't do it. Christian Kirk or DK Metcalf?
Whoa.
I think it's Kirk, dude. I mean, like, how many times has Christian Kirk finished as a wide receiver one compared to DK Metcalf? It's got to be close, right?
I can't believe I'm about to say this, but Christian Kirk.
Hell yeah. All right. Now, the real question of the day. After I just went through my analysis, Christian Kirk or Calvin Ridley?
Kirk.
It's Kirk.
Easy. Easy peasy. Yeah.
It's a fifth Hell or yeah. sixth round pickup compared to a third round pickup every day of the week.
Ryan, I don't understand. Everyone's, they think like Calvin Ridley's going to emerge from not playing 2 years in this league and just all of a sudden be God on this team. I don't understand it. Like some of the projections I was seeing, Calvin Ridley having like 1,400 yards. Like, are you kidding me?
Dude, give us that weed. We'll do the podcast on that.
Okay, Ryan. We talked about your keepers really quick, so let me run a key for our. It's a half point PPR. This is our home league of record. Half point PPR. You have keepers, right? Mm-hmm. So Ryan, we already talked. Ryan's considering Lawrence as like 11, his 11th round pick.
I think so.
And then AJ Brown is his third round pick.
Sure.
And so let's say you go Kelsey in the first round, and you go.
Well, no, I wouldn't be able to. Oh, you mean if I left Kelsey out there? Yeah.
Correct.
But the chances, I don't think of him because I think I have the fourth pick. I think
Let's do this hypothetically. Okay. So you got Kelsey in the first. You take, let's say like Derrick Henry falls and you take Derrick Henry in the second, right?
Okay.
AJ Brown is your keeper in the third.
I'm getting torqued up right now.
Right.
So let me ask you. You've got a team with Derrick Henry, Travis Kelce, AJ Brown, and Trevor Lawrence. In round four, are you considering Christian Kirk?
Hell yeah, to pair with Lawrence. Hell yeah, that sounds like a plan.
Now remember, this is a 0.5 PPR league, but it's also a 0.5 per completion. So there's incentive there to stack.
That's very true.
Yeah, I was going to say, oh, you can just let Lawrence go and draft him in the seventh, but like, what the fuck you get in the 11th round?
Right.
Our
rules are you can keep one from any spot, and if you have a second keeper, it's optional, but it has to be someone you drafted past round 10 and held on to all year.
Right. Okay.
So mine is Travis Etienne because I took him when he was injured, and now he's a 15th round pick for me, and then I think I'm going to go Amon-Ra in the third or fourth.
Oh, yeah.
So,
all right, let's get to the meat. Let's talk Trevor Lawrence.
All right, here we go, baby.
Trevor Lawrence or Aaron Rodgers?
T-Law, easy.
Easy, bro. I watched that old man on TV for 4 hours yesterday. That's as much shit as I want to see about Aaron Rodgers for the rest of the season.
I didn't like that. Like throughout that game, they just, you know, I get it. It's the Hall of Fame game. You got to talk to the Hall of Famers. But they weren't like split screening it and showing the game. They were just showing the conversations these announcers were having with these guys.
I don't care. I came to watch football. It's right. Been 9 months, bro.
Exactly.
Give me what I want.
Right.
All right. Trevor Lawrence or Jared Goff?
Lawrence.
Yeah.
Okay. Trevor Lawrence or Justin Herbert?
Herbie.
Yeah, I'm not even the homer take, bro, but like 50 touchdowns this year for Herbert.
I might agree with that because I'm on the bandwagon that Herbert's just had an off year last year and he's gonna come back with the vengeance this year.
Put a pin in this and remember this for this time next year, because I think if you ask Trevor Lawrence or Justin Herbert next year, we're having a very different conversation.
He okay. could end up like right behind Joe Burrow in startups. You know what I mean? That's just we're approaching. I think he's becoming who we think he is.
Yeah.
All right. So really quick to round out the segment on the Jags, unless you guys want to talk anything else, I wanted to talk their schedule.
I'm good.
Let's do schedule, baby.
So they have a very interesting schedule this year because not only do they have two London games, they're going to be in London for 2 weeks straight.
Fuck yeah. They're acclimated that.
Yeah. English they breakfast. They have a game at Wembley and then they have a game at Tottenham.
Those locations mean nothing to me as an American.
they're famous soccer stadiums.
Okay. All right.
So week one. All right. This is going to be a win. They go to Indy.
Dub.
That team's not going to have anything figured out by week one. So I call on Jags win.
Well, easy. Some people are projecting Minshew to start. I think that's cap, but.
Really? They're projecting Minshew? I thought they came out and said Richardson was going to start.
Yeah, I don't. Any, next team.
Yeah, it's all coach speak.
Okay. So then they're in Jacksonville, but they play Kansas City. I'm
going to give them an L right there.
Yeah, I think I'm going to. Yeah. Yeah, it'll be close.
It'll come down to the last play of the game. It'll be like 35 to 33.
Sure, yeah. It could be one of those barn burners, like 35 to 28 or something like that. So we'll go 1-1. Then they're at home, and they play Houston. That's a win. All right. This is where they go to London for 2 weeks straight. I don't like betting against the Jaguars in London because for some reason, and I think it's because the team owner is from London? Is Saeed Khan from London?
No, he's from Florida.
Well, is he for real? Oh, they, whatever.
They own
whatever.
Everything.
Yeah, for some reason, the English people gravitate towards Jacksonville and they love watching Jacksonville be the home team.
I think he has ownership in Manchester United, but I think
that's correct.
I'm just making up names.
So they play Atlanta. I'm calling it a win.
Yeah.
The next game's going to be really awesome because this will not only will be on in London and on at, 8:30 Central Time. They're playing Buffalo.
Ooh, that'd be
This is going to be like the greatest London game of all time.
That's a W. I'm giving it.
Oh, really?
Hey, the Buffalo matchup, though, we did say. I know Ryan said L, but I think, or Ryan said W. I think we said L.
Okay, we'll give it an L. Stay consistent. I didn't realize Jacksonville would have the rest advantage being in London for the whole week prior, though.
Okay, all right. We'll change it then.
I wouldn't imagine they're gonna send everyone back. They're gonna stay there. I would imagine. So yeah, I think advantage might go to the Jags then. So
they've only lost one. They've only lost to KC.
Okay. Then they get their second round. They come back to America. They get their second round against Indy. That's a win. Then they go to the Superdome, play New Orleans. This is a primetime game.
I could say this is a sneaky loss.
Okay.
I think the Saints have one of the best defenses in the league this year.
All right, I'll go with you. We'll call that a loss then.
I think that's a sneaky L.
Then they go to Pittsburgh. I think that's a win.
Dub.
At home next, or sorry, they have their bye week, week 9. Then they play Frisco at home.
I could see that as a win because if they make Purdy have to throw the ball 40 times, that's a win, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Shane, what do you think?
Yeah, I think this is around when San Francisco kind of that rest differential is going to kick their ass and they're going to have a lot of people who are injured or they're going to be playing thin.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Then they go down to Houston for their second matchup.
Dub.
Beginning of December, week 11. They're at home, prime time against Cincinnati.
L.
Okay. We'll go with the loss.
I'm giving an L.
Next week, they go to Cleveland. I'm calling that a win.
After that game last night, 100-0.
This will be a good game, another primetime game for them. Looks like they have 3 primetime games, 1 afternoon game, and 2 London games. They're playing at home against Baltimore.
I might give that one an L, dude. I'm not going to lie to you.
Really?
What do you guys think? Talk me out of it.
Will that put them at 4 losses then?
That would put them at 4, yes.
I think it just depends what happens to their defense. I really do. Like,
I think it also depends on if Baltimore gets their shit together and emerges as the team we all think they're going to be outside of any injuries. So we'll give that a loss. That's prime time. Then Christmas Eve, they go to Tampa Bay. That's a win.
Easy.
Merry Christmas, Jacksonville.
Right? New Year's Eve at home against Carolina. That's a win.
Yep.
And to round out the year, they go to Tennessee. I'm thinking that's a win as well.
It should be at that point in the season.
Well, okay, so we were at four wins up to that point. They could be at the point where they just don't care, and they already may have secured their playoff spot.
They might not have home field advantage, especially if Kansas City wins that first game.
Yeah, that's a good point. So I'll call that a win.
They're playing Will Levis, too, so.
That's true.
So we're putting the Jags at 13-4.
Love it.
That seems pretty reasonable.
I'm loving this team this year.
I'm definitely considering putting some money on their over for wins. I don't know. If as long as it's not like 11.5, I think I might be in.
Well, per Warren Sharpe, it was 9.5 at the time when his guy dropped.
Oh, I'm smashing that over. Jesus.
Yeah, that might be something worth looking into.
For sure. So, right. Yeah, that's the Jacksonville Jaguars Super Bowl bound.
Ryan, congrats on finishing the research portion of your summer break.
Yes. Homework's over.
Well, no, it's still gone.
Shane and I will come at you next week with our last two, the LA Rams, spicy.
I remembered.
And the Miami Dolphins. So
I'll figure out something to do. I don't know what it is yet, but I'll do something.
Okay. I look forward to it. Yeah. So until next week, y'all, we'll come at you then for the last of our research episodes. And thanks for sticking around and have a great weekend. Any last thoughts, guys? Or
that's it, man. That was dumb good.
Go Jags.
All right. Duval. Good night, everybody.
Construction, ripping sigs.